Hi, my name's Diana Williams. I'm known as the condo queen in a little seaside town called New Smyrna Beach, Florida, just below Daytona Beach. I wanted to tell you some true real estate stories from my last 23 years experience that might help you to navigate your real estate experience a little bit better. First of all, after retiring from school teaching, I went into real estate with absolutely no experience. I was completely unaware of how a mortgage worked or insurance or anything. I had a lawyer husband. He handled all the finances, and I handed him my teaching checks and let him manage the money. So I really had no knowledge at all of how anything in the world worked. And in 4 weeks, I had my test passed. In 5 weeks, they mailed me my license. It was an eighth grade test to deal with the most valuable asset most people have in their lives. Interviewed a couple places in town and sat down at a thing called floor duty, where you sit down and people come in and say, I want to buy something. Well, I didn't know anything about anything, but I faked it really well. Good actress. So people would come up and they had rented condos from the rental office downstairs, and they'd come up to sales and say, we had the best week ever. I want to buy a condo on the beach or on the river or a house, or I want to get somewhere near this paradise. And I would sell the dream. Although I'd never been in sales before, I knew a couple of things. Say yes a lot and pretend like you know what you're doing. And I'd had a little bit of experience as a public school teacher and drama coach and those kinds of things, so that I knew how to speak to people a little. So if you're new in this business, let me just say, I couldn't have been more ignorant than I was. And of course, the universe sends me the most difficult kind of a closing for my first one. A guy walks up, he's probably 6'6" or 6'7", comes up the elevator, and little old me sitting there, and I am completely unprepared for what's about to happen to me. And he says to me, I got two condos across the street over here at the seacoast, and I want you to sell those two, and I want to buy this big one down the street, the South Wind, on the ground floor. I want one big condo instead of two little ones. I said, I can do that. And he said, and by the way, we are going to do a 1031 like-kind exchange, because these were rental units, and I want to identify the property in 45 days and close on it in 180. So you got to find me something, and I think I know what I want. And then we got to sell the other two and do a simultaneous closing. Do you know how to do a 1031 tax exchange? Oh, yeah. Sure, I do. No problem. So I go running back to the back of the office to some of the veterans back there and ask them what a 1031 tax exchange. Understand, this is before cell phones. This is before the internet told us everything. This is a very early stages, 22 years ago, that anybody could get information as quickly as we can now. So one of the old school guys says, I'll help you. We'll go over and determine the value of the condo. Let me go with you, and we'll look at the two condos, put a price on them. We'll list them in the multiple listing, and then we'll figure out the 1031 thing. So I called a guy in Orlando named Bruce Loffman, who handles what's called the Starker 1031 tax exchange. Now lots of more people do them, but at the time that was the only name on anyone's tongue, and everybody and their brother wasn't in that business. So I called him and asked him what it was, and said over the years I'd send him a whole lot of business if he'd just help me through this. Turns out we sold both condos furnished. And this is where it gets interesting. We sold them both fully furnished as seen. That means, and I didn't know to do this, that everything they saw in there needed to stay unless it had been excluded, identified, and signed off on. Okay, next move. We sign them up for the 1031 tax exchange. We locate a real big, nice condo down at the South Wind on the ground floor. And here comes closing day. Two different couples are flying in to buy their two different condos. Then the money goes into the tax exchange and we put it over into the new condo so that some tax consequences are offset. Well, we show up at closing and in walks the owner of the big replacement condo, and he shakes hands with my seller who's buying the condo. He's selling the two and buying this guy's condo, and he shakes his hand and says, "I'm sorry, we can't close. Someone has broken into my condo. I came over last night to sleep in it one last time, and someone had broken in the sliding door, and my stuff is gone, and that was supposed to convey with the sale." And basically, I had the police come out. We've crime taped it off. And I don't know whose stuff is in there, but somebody else's stuff is in my condo, like they're living there. And the room got really quiet. And the seller of the two smaller condos that's buying his condo was speechless. He had gone in there and taken his wife's favorite things out of one of the condos that they were selling, which was expected to be purchased that day as seen. She took her favorite things, which were quite a few, out and then moved what she didn't like out of the new condo into the old condo. And they thought they were going to get away with that. That he'd just show up at closing and it'd be a seamless transaction. It was not a seamless transaction. The guy with the big condo he was buying broke out laughing. He knew what had happened, but he caused about 30 seconds of the longest pause you've ever seen. There was a check written at closing to the buyers who were expecting to buy the smaller condo as seen, and things were taken out of it, so they had to make compensation for the things they took out of the one condo. But the bigger condo really didn't care. He was selling the furnishings anyway. He didn't care where they moved them. He just wanted to jerk their chain. So having said that, we did close. And it was a check that was about a half a year's teaching salary. That was my first check in real estate. Selling two, buying one. Commissions were higher then. There wasn't all this discount commission junk going on. And I just hit the mother load. Half a year of slaving as a school teacher 50 hours a week and grading papers till midnight. And in 6 or 8 weeks of being in real estate, I had half a year's salary in my hand. Of course, the guy who'd gone over and helped me wanted 30% of it, even though we weren't in any sort of a contract for him to mentor me, which I didn't give him. And I learned a valuable lesson or two. I learned that the walkthrough is really important the night before closing to make sure everything's in order for the people who bought the two smaller condos. I learned that an inventory list is a really nice thing to have. And now we have these smartphones, and all you have to do is point them in a drawer. I used to have to count the forks. After that experience, I'd go in and say, "There's 10 forks. You know, furnished means furnished, as seen. There's 10 knives, 10 spoons, there's a blender, there's whatever." And when I list a condo now, I make absolutely sure I have a video record of what stays. And if even a Keurig coffee maker is missing, I know I'm going to have to buy it. Or somebody at the table's going to get in a fight and the whole thing could go south over a coffee maker. I bought washers, I bought dryers, I bought coffee makers, anything to put a deal together. But this first one taught me a lot. Now, I've done hundreds of 1031s since then. I can do them in my sleep. You just add a sentence to the contract and you copy and paste it off the internet. Now there's a special form that your MLS system provides for a 1031 tax exchange. But at the time, I was learning on the fly. The happy part of the story is that this man and his wife stayed happy in that condo for 20 years, and he was in his 70s at the time, and when he was in his 90s, he called me back and said, I'm ready to sell the big condo. Got some health issues. We don't need that thing anymore. And I sold it again. So I think the thing to learn from this is threefold. One, list a condo, if it's being sold furnished or a house or anything. Say what stays or say what doesn't, whichever list is longer. So if only three things are being taken out of it, put those on the listing agreement. Your grandmother's painting, the Keurig coffee maker, and this, you know, are leaving. They do not convey with the sale. If more things are, if only three things are staying and more things are leaving, you know, that's what you do. Say there, we're only leaving a bed, a couch, and a TV. Put it in the listing agreement. Make it known to other realtors. And don't say furnished if it's not. It's furnished or it's not. And you have to be specific. Take a video record. When you walk in that property, whatever kind of property it is, you open the drawers, you open the closets, do the linens stay. If they're going to turn around and make it an investment property and rent it the day of closing, which you can do here because most of the properties are very rentable. They're on the beach or the river or somewhere. If you're going to turn around and rent that thing, then they want that tenant to be able to come in the next day, or they're going to fly down for a closing from places a lot colder than this, and they want to sleep there and not have to run out and buy sheets. Well, make a video record of everything you list and keep it in your photo album, in your phone, so there's no doubt about it. Or put it in writing in an inventory list and attach it to the listing so no one gets confused that the turtle sculpture doesn't stay. And that's what I learned from my first real estate deal. What did I do with the money? I bought an Arabian horse, something that has to be fed. Back in the day, Roger Butcher was a trainer, and we were all listening to Roger Butcher and buying his CDs and trying to get trained that way. And Roger Butcher said, the first time you close something, first-timers, you should buy something expensive that has to be fed, whether it's a sports car. For me, it was horses. This was my passion. So I bought a 16-hand-high Arabian horse. I'd been messing around with horses for a while, and I wanted my own instead of buying them for my daughter. This business has made almost every single dream in my life come true, and I'm not sure that teaching would have done that. So I did my community service for 17 years as a school teacher, got a little check, got a lot of warm fuzzies, know I made a difference in the world. But while I was doing that, my family was in real estate, in decorating, and all things related real estate, and I watched them become wealthy and invest in properties and flip properties. And I hadn't the faintest idea how to do any of that. But I taught myself and I got my 10,000 hours in, and now I'm trying to talk to you about real, true real estate stories. Remember, you can email me through my website at Realty Realty NSB. That's for New Smyrna Beach, RealtyRealtyNSB.com. You can reach out to me through the website, and I'll try to answer any of your real estate questions. Thanks for listening.